Eye of the Tiger, you know what that means. It's the Super Bowl edition of the Football Focus Podcast brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2. William Gagan here with Kevin Pomeroy. Very excited about the podcast, very excited about the Super Bowl. Probably as good a matchup as we could hope for in our area. Two of our teams, Bishop Hendrickson taking on Cranston East in the Division I Super Bowl. And a very special podcast. We've got head coaches from both teams joining us and a lot to talk about. Before we get to that, the lay of the land. This is a Sunday 12 p.m. Super Bowl at Cranston Stadium. Hendrickson taking on Cranston East. The Hawks are the 2 seed. They have been to the Super Bowl 5 consecutive years now, and they are looking for their 4th consecutive title, which would be a Rhode Island record. Cranston East in the Division I Super Bowl for the first time since 1987, and looking for their first title since then as well. So a lot at stake for both teams. These are the two teams that were number one and number two in the preseason Rhode Island Sports Media poll. Based on that, best two teams out there. So let's get right to it. Joining us now on the podcast, we have head coach Tom Suntory from Cranston East. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
First time in a Division I Super Bowl since 1987 for Cranston East. What's it been like these last few hours?
I've had no time for anything. A lot of congratulations, a lot of happy people, and just a lot of preparation for Sunday, and it's been a lot of fun around here at school.
Is there any time to actually celebrate the semifinal win with the Super Bowl, you know, only a few days away and coming 5 days right after that win?
Not really, and not much sleep last night. I slept for about an hour last night, but there really isn't a lot of time to celebrate. I mean, we can enjoy it last night as much as we could, but, with such a short turnaround, really not a lot of time to, enjoy too much. I'm sure after this is all over, we'll hopefully look back and appreciate what we drew.
So, first glance, the matchup with Hendrickson, how are you guys feeling going into this one?
Oh, it's going to be a tough one. I mean, they're one team that we certainly have had trouble with. We haven't been able to beat, and we had two great games with them last year. Unfortunately, the game this year was probably our worst game of the year, and for a lot of reasons. And certainly a credit to Hendrickson, but hopefully we'll play better, this time around than we did back in October.
You've been in a situation recently where it's been your backs have been against the wall every game you've played. I mean, you had to win your last three regular season games. You obviously had to win last night to stay alive. Do you try and keep that same mentality when you're talking to these guys that, we've been in the situation, it's no different than the last four games when we've had to win?
And we've told them that. We said, your playoff started the weekend we played LaSalle, and we felt that was the first playoff game, and that was our theme from that point on, is that your playoffs begin the night of November 1st, and we've always been an elimination night that we've played, and that was elimination week one, and since then we haven't been eliminated yet, so we're play do or die every week since November 1st.
Can you take us back there a little bit to when you were 2-3? I mean, was there a moment when you had a team meeting or a sit down or anything happened when you kind of told them that it's now or never?
We pretty much said to them, we knew that. And again, the seniors really stepped up and they said, this is our time. I said, this is your one chance. If you want to get in the playoffs and have a chance, you have to beat LaSalle. And, because they were fighting for a playoff berth at the time too, LaSalle. And if we hadn't beaten them, we knew our season was going to be done, and that could have gone the other way. But unfortunately, they got together as a group and they practiced harder. They changed some of the ways they did things. There was a little more focus, the way it should be. And they did a great job recovering from it, from when it could have gone the other way, break here or break there.
When you look at the Hendrickson matchup and looking back at that regular season game, what are the biggest things that need to change that you guys need to do better?
Well, we got to tackle Remington Blue. That was number one. That was a major issue for us, and we just couldn't tackle them. And they were more physical than us that night. They were more aggressive on both sides of the ball than we were that night. And we made some mental mistakes. So every piece was missing. They did every phase of the game. They were much better than us, and we need to capitalize and be better in offense, defense, and special teams than they were. And got to try to be more physical than we were that night.
You mentioned the tackling of Remy. Your defense has come a long way since then. I mean, that was kind of at the time when you guys were still trying to struggle to find an identity on defense. We're giving up a lot of points. since then, I mean, it seems like it's almost night and day with the Barrington game, the Cranston West game, the LaSalle game. I mean, things have changed for you defensively, right?
They've changed drastically. Our scheme changed. That was probably going into the Portsmouth game. Our scheme changed, a little bit in the Henderson game, but it really started to change philosophy going into the Portsmouth game and certainly in the LaSalle game. And personnel changed. Personnel spots changed. We became a little bigger up front on the defensive side and a little bit stronger, at the end position with some of our young kids stepped in and were playing off the ball a little bit more. Now they moved up to the line of scrimmage and, I've got a linebacker play from some of the younger kids and, just things that have, scheme and, the way kids have played and their responsibilities have changed and they really, taken to their responsibilities and followed through on.
On the other side of the ball, Hendricken seems like its secondary is maybe the one secondary in the league that can match up with your wide receivers. Does that change what you guys have to do at all?
You think about it, but, the one thing that you can't do in the course of 4 days is change who you are and what you are. So, we certainly are going to, try to get the ball on the guys that can make plays. Mm-hmm. Marvin, Joaquin, Jimmy, Alex, and now, fortunately, we've had a surprise in Danny Cornelio, who's become our fourth receiver and done an outstanding job. So we feel like we have five weapons, but and then Mario's running the football as well as anybody, and John Anderson. So I think we're more multidimensional now. In spite of our pass game and what we can do, I think we can do. We have a little more dimension to our offense, than we did back then.
And it seems like you're patient enough now, where you're going to take what the defense is giving you. When Marvin was double covered in the past, maybe Alex would try and get him the ball. But now, we ran the ball a lot against Barrington. You mentioned Dan Cornelio and Jimmy up the middle. There's going to be guys open somewhere if they're doubling Marvin or Marquise, right?
Right. It's tough. At times it's difficult for players because, they do create some problems. Even looking back to last night with Barrington, they double teamed at times Marvin and Marquise, and they singled Jimmy Saab and Dan Cornelio. And, then they played five guys defending the run, and that opened up for Alex and Mario. And we talk enough, and Alex knows enough now after he's probably seen every possible defense that he could have seen over the last 2 years. And he understands what I'm thinking because we talk, and he understands what I'm looking for, and we're really on the same page with what he wants to do. And he makes a lot of the decisions about whether to run pass game and what routes to run. I'll play the goal. It's a run game play.
Is he playing as well as you've seen him at this point? I mean, it's been 2 years, and he's played at a high level basically all 2 years, but is this as good as he's played?
Yeah, he's probably playing at the highest level I've seen him play right now. He's just as good as he's played for 2 years and as good as he's played this year. He's probably certainly a notch above what he's been, and seems to be getting better. He's playing his best football as the season comes to a close on Sunday, but he's by far, no question, most outstanding quarterback, I think in school history here as far as the numbers are concerned, and as far as I've coached, one of the brightest quarterbacks that I've coached, if not the brightest quarterback.
So last thing, bottom line, what do you guys need to do to win this game?
We just got to continue to do it where, we just got to continue to do what we've been doing, continue to play defense, continue to tackle, and, try not to change too much, just stay loose, practice hard, and, play mentally smart like we've been doing for the last 4 weeks, and I think that's the key. And it seems like every phase of our game is clicking. We want it to continue to click for 48 more minutes.
All right, Tom, that's going to do it. Thank you again for joining us, and good luck Sunday.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, William. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks again to Coach Santori for coming on. Great stuff as always, and a lot to think about there. Before we give you our thoughts, let's hear from the other side. And Hendricken head coach Keith Croft. All right, joining us now, Hendricken head coach Keith Croft. Keith, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
My pleasure.
So how are you guys feeling? Headed back to your fifth Super Bowl, kind of a frequent trip for you guys. How's things been going?
It's been great. It's just a tremendous sense of pride and enjoyment, and so proud of the kids and the assistant coaches. It's a great feeling.
You've obviously been here before. Like William just said, this is the fifth consecutive year you've been in the Super Bowl. is it still as exciting getting there, or is there a sense of, you know, there's one more step because, you know, you have accomplished so much these last 4 years?
It's the same feeling. I mean, I think maybe the initial excitement doesn't really hit you kind of like it did maybe on the first one, but when you have some time to step back and reflect, it's the same. You know, it's just when you think back to where you started back in June to where you are now, and it's really kind of a year-round grind to get here. So it's great to be here, and you know you got one more game to go, one more mountain to climb, and it's never easy.
So you've got Cranston East. You beat them 35-7 in the regular season. Kind of at first glance, you know, what do you think of the rematch?
I think it's kind of what everybody wanted before the season started. So I think it's what you're going to get, and it should be a great game. I think they're, you know, I don't think much has changed from what we thought going into the season, and what a lot of people thought was that they were just going to have probably the most prolific offense in the state. And I think when the season ends and all said and done, I think statistically they probably are. I think the defense is playing a lot better. I think it's really at this point of the season, the two teams that get to the Super Bowl are probably playing the best at that time. And I think it just so happened that we're probably the two best teams in the state too.
You're in a little bit of an unfamiliar role than it's been the last couple of years. I know I asked you this last night at the game, but you're the favorite this year, at least on paper, based on what happened during the regular season, based on regular season records. Last couple of years, you were the underdogs. I mean, do you relish a certain role? Does it matter to you how you're perceived heading into this game?
No, it doesn't matter. I think when you play this game, the records don't matter anymore. It's whoever the two teams are playing for the championship, it doesn't matter if one team has, you know, one loss or four losses or three losses, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. We're going to approach this game just like we have the same way in any of the other, you know, five Super Bowl appearances we've had, which is just, you know, we're going to consider ourselves the underdog. And I think we're going to go into this game with the same mindset and the same approach this week in practice and prepare for the game as coaches, is that they're the team that we have to beat. They're the team that we have to stop. And you know, I don't think you can go in any other way. You can't go in confident. You can't go in cocky. You just better go in knowing that you have to put your best foot forward to win.
You mentioned East's prolific offense, and I was in Barrington last night, and the guy who really stood out was the quarterback, Alex Corvese. Had the best, probably the best game of his career. How tough is he to stop when you look at their offense?
Well, he's immensely tough to stop throwing the ball, and then, you know, we didn't see much of the game last night, but we know he ran the ball very well, so that just makes it even more difficult. You know, he's a senior quarterback who, from by all accounts, everything I've heard about the kid, he seems like a great kid, great leader, great field general up there, and, you know, he's talented. So he's very difficult to stop. You go into the game with all their weapons thinking you got to slow some down, but you're not going to be able to stop any of them. And I think that's the approach we're going to have. You got to contain him. I think you really got to minimize his running ability. And, you know, you're going to have to make some plays defensively at some point and maybe get a turnover here or there, but he's tough. I mean, he seems like a really intelligent kid, high quarterback IQ. He's kind of a total package, everything you'd want.
And with the way they are offensively in general, I mean, there's going to have to be a lot of one-on-one matchups, I would think, just because you can't double Marvin, you can't double Marquise. Yeah. You know, every play, you just don't have enough guys out there. And you guys have some solid defensive backs. I mean, do you like those one-on-one matchups? Do you feel okay, you know, going against their really strong players with your talented defensive backs?
I mean, you're always going to, no matter who you go into a game with, you're always going to feel confident. But, I mean, you stop Marvin, you got Marquise. You stop Marquise, you got Jimmy Saab. Jimmy Saab, you got the running back who's been running the ball really well, and get Alex Corvese to a quarterback. So, no, I really don't think you can go in game plan for them thinking you're going to stop one person. You're really just going to kind of spread out. It's, like you said, Kevin, it's a game of one-on-one matchups. You know, our guys are going to have to make some plays on their guys and vice versa.
So this game is at Cranston Stadium, which kind of adds another layer. That's East's home field. Is that, you know, a factor at all at this point for you guys?
No, I mean, we're approaching it like it's their home game.
Yep.
You know, we're the visitors in their house. And, you know, I think we're comfortable playing at that place. We've played there a lot over the years, and obviously Super Bowls and some regular season games. And it's always, you know, from my experience with Super Bowls, it's always just a great atmosphere. You know, tremendous crowd. I don't expect anything less. You know, I don't think when push comes to shove, it's going to matter a whole heck of a lot that it's their home field. You know, obviously, I'm sure that they're happy it's there. I mean, I wish the Super Bowl was 100 again, but I think it'll matter a lot to go out. I mean, it's going to be a Sunday afternoon. Hopefully, the weather will be great, and it should be a great day for football.
Offensively, the first time you played them, you ran for something like 450 yards, whatever it was. I mean, just absolutely kept running the ball basically at will. But even since then, teams have started to key on you a little bit more in the run game, and you've been able to adjust and evolve a little bit. Has your offense evolved, like I said, as the season has gone on to give you sort of a more balanced attack and a few more weapons going into this game?
Yeah, I think maybe an incorrect term, but I'm going to use it. I think we've matured a little bit offensively. I think some of our other guys have kind of come into their own a little bit now. I think when we played them early in the year, it was probably the Remy Blue Show.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing wrong with that, because he's a special player. And I hope he's that productive again when we play them. But chances are that he's not going to be. I mean, they're playing a lot better defensively, so we're going to see a different East defense, no question about it. But yeah, I think guys like Scott Seller and Moses and Duffy and Lucci and Power, I think, you know, Gary Kidd, I think those guys, we've been able to, you know, we've got almost another half a season under their belts now. So I think they're a little more comfortable, a little more confident. And just like last night against Portsmouth, someone's going to have to step up, because, I mean, they're going to go into the game figuring that they're going to have to stop Remy and they're going to have to stop Moses. And you know what? If I was the opposing coach, I'd be thinking the same thing. So, all hands on deck. We found the guys to make plays, and based on what we've seen the last few weeks, the results have been good.
And obviously, fifth straight Super Bowl. You have coached in big games like this. All your coaches have. But the fact that you've been there the last couple of years, a lot of your players have also played in them. Does that help? I mean, they're not going to be overwhelmed by the stage, I wouldn't think.
I think leading up to the Super Bowl, I think it will help. I think this week in practice, I mean, they're used to this. They're used to a short week. They're confident in the system that we have in place. So I think there's some familiarity there. I think, you know, having for most of these kids playing at Hendrickson, that's all they know is playing in championship games, whether it's freshman year or sophomore year or junior year. But come Saturday or Sunday, from my experience, that all goes out the window and it wears off. When you get to, you know, 24, 48 hours in the game, that of the other team, Cranthony's players, coaches, they're all feeling the exact same thing that we're all feeling, you know, the magnitude of the game, the, you know, the excitement of the game. So, you know, I think earlier in the week, I think it may help a little bit, but once you get closer to the game, it's all the same. It doesn't matter. It's just another football game, but just a little bigger prize at the end.
So last question, boil it down for me. What does it take to win the game for you guys?
I think, obviously, we got to have a really good defensive effort. And by that, I mean, I think what you guys have already mentioned, we need some individual efforts. I think we got to have some defensive backs there. I have to make some big plays at times. We have to, without question, have got to get not just a pass rush on Corvacy, but we've got to contain him. We cannot allow him to just run up and down the field, you know, when he's dropping back and no one's open. And I think our offense has to control the game a little bit, you know, with the intensity of the play. I think our running game has got to be effective. It's got to be more effective than it has been the last few weeks. It's got to be physical.
All right, Coach, that is all we need. Thanks again for joining us, and good luck Sunday.
All right, guys, thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
No problem.
And that was Hendrickson Coach Keith Croft. Thanks again to both Coach Centauri and Coach Croft for taking time out of their busy schedules. Coach Centauri got an hour's sleep last night, and he's still calling us when he could be taking a nap. So we appreciate them joining us on the podcast. So let's get to our thoughts. This is a tough one to break down. You look at that 35-7 regular season matchup, and you say, oh, maybe this is easy. I don't think it's quite as cut and dry as that. East is kind of looking like a different team. Their defense significantly improved. It's not just numbers. You can just see it in the way they're playing. And Hendrickson, you know, that was kind of the peak for them, that game and the Portsmouth game, and they have not looked as dominant since. So Different kind of game.
Totally. Yeah, it is. It's not, these aren't the same two teams that played then. I don't think Hendricken is a ton different in that I still think, you know, looking at its full track record, it's still the best mm-hmm. team in the state. I mean, it played a very good Portsmouth team on Tuesday night, a team that had really played well entering the playoffs and had a huge second half against Portsmouth. I mean, Hendricken played really, really well, did everything it wanted to offensively, and took care of business. So I don't know that they have changed a ton. East has changed, mm-hmm. and that's why you think this one has to be closer than the 28-point margin it was during the regular season. East is playing more efficiently on offense. They're not turning the ball over as much. All their star players, the guys that we talk about relentlessly, are playing at as high a level as they have all season. And like you mentioned, and probably the most important part of the East team, and the reason why East is in this position right now, because yeah. if this didn't change, they wouldn't be here, is that defense. They showed up really, really big in the last three games of the regular season, and then showed up huge against Barrington. I mean, yeah, compare really the two games against Barrington.
Yep.
They allowed 41 points in that early season one. They allowed 13 the other yep. night and steamrolled yep. their way to the Super Bowl.
300 yards rushing against Barrington in the regular season, about 100, 120. In this matchup, they sacked the quarterback five times, forced a bunch of turnovers, flew around, flying to the ball, swarming to the ball. Very different looking unit. And now they go into another rematch of a regular season loss, and they're going to need that defensive unit again. Let's start with that side of the matchup, Hendricken's power running attack against an East defense that got steamrolled by it in the regular season.
Mm. I know I just said Hendricken did everything they wanted to in the second half against Portsmouth. I'm going to go back on that a little bit because they didn't run the ball overly effective with their running backs. I mean, they were able to grind out some short yardage things. They had third and ones, third and twos, and they were able to convert. But they didn't put up big numbers with Remington Blue and Gary Gibbs on the ground against Portsmouth. And that has kind of been the way it's gone for them recently as teams have adjusted to what Hendricken does best. I mean, Hendricken wants to run the ball. They've been really, really effective running the ball in the games where they've been most dominant and when they've won. I mean, in that first East matchup, they ran for 475 right. yards. So the last couple Super Bowls, they've run very effectively when they beat LaSalle.
Yep.
That is what they've wanted to do. And teams, and credit to the other teams that have played Hendricken, have done a good job kind of slowing that down. And Hendricken is still going to try and run. They're not going to abandon the running game. I mean, I imagine it'll still be overwhelming run-pass margin. They'll run much more. But they flashed the ability to do other things when the running game isn't working. They threw the ball well last night. They can get it out in the screen game. Gary Gibbs can run the ball when Remington's not exactly going. So they're a little more versatile than just, we're going to give the ball to Remington Blue 30 times and, you know, try mm-hmm. and win the game that way.
Yeah. You heard Coach Santori earlier talk about how they needed to tackle Remington Blue, and that's key. But, you know, along the same lines of Hendricken trying to, you know, maybe do some different things, East has to make sure it's aware of the passing game. You know, Mike Scarsella burned Portsmouth for two long touchdowns in the semifinal. East against Barrington picked up six or seven pass interference penalties.
Wow.
They were not fantastic in the secondary, so that's something they have to be aware of. They've been so geared towards stopping the run for several weeks now. They have to make sure that Hendricken doesn't catch him sleeping there.
Yeah, that's very important. And it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Hendricken is this way in that they like to catch teams off guard, onside kicks, occasionally to start mm-hmm. halves, things like that. If Hendricken gets the ball first, everyone's expecting them to run. They drop back and throw, you know, a deep bomb to Lee Moses or Scarsella. Yep. That's the kind of thing that they have done and done really well to catch teams off guard and get those kind of cheap points and things that have separated them from some of the other teams in the state this year. So, yeah, I mean, East can't just focus on the run just because Hendricken ran the ball so well last time, because Hendricken will adjust.
Yeah.
That said, I mean, you do have to focus on the run, and East is better equipped to handle
yes,
the run now.
They're
not giving up 400 yards rushing yeah. this time. They might still get beat a little bit on the run, but they are much, much better equipped to hang in the game, to slow that run game down, and hopefully try and get the ball back for their offense.
On the other side of the ball, East has perhaps the most explosive offense in the state, and it's kind of clicking on all cylinders right now. Alex Corvisi played a tremendous game against Barrington, two touchdown passes, four touchdown runs. Marvin Bove, Marquis Monroe, Jimmy Saab, Dan Cornelio, all these guys who are in the mix now, it's clicking. Hendricken was able to slow them down with some turnovers, some poor execution by East in that game. And like we've talked about, I think we said this in advance of the regular season matchup, Hendricken's defensive backs have the potential and the ability to cover East receivers like no one else can.
Yeah, they can probably do it, and will try to do it one-on-one with regular yep. man coverage because they have the athletes that can actually match up. I mean, you saw at Barrington, they double-teamed Markeem yes. and double-teamed Marvin on almost every play, right?
Right. Two guys literally out there. Two guys lined up opposite them.
So, I mean, that they felt that was the only way they could stop them, and obviously what you're doing by committing four guys to those two guys is leaving yourself vulnerable in other areas. Hendrickson has the option, or thinks it has the option, and hopes it does, of going man on those two guys, and probably on Jimmy Saab as well, to where they don't have to adjust their defense so much and sacrifice linebackers right. or sacrifice safety help. They can still play their regular base-style defense, able to stop against the run, able to blitz if they want, what have you, without leaving themselves vulnerable. Yep. And that is why they've, you know, in a nutshell, that's why they've given East fits
yeah,
in the regular season yep. matchup this year and the two matchups last year.
Yep.
Nobody else, for the most part, has been able to slow down East's offense because they can't. They can't physically match up with them.
Right.
Hendrickson can, doesn't have to deviate from what it does, and is able to stop them. I mean, yeah. that's really it.
Yeah. You know, Barrington's, like you said, they're playing six guys in the secondary,
yeah.
plus dropping linebackers into coverage. A lot of times they were rushing three or four. Hendrickson, if they're just playing their four guys in the secondary, maybe a couple linebackers drop off, they're rushing their normal amount. They're playing their normal defense and getting pressure on Alex Corbacy, which is something they've done in every meeting these last 2 years, and it has been an issue.
He has improved. He's been great in general, yeah. but he's improved, I think, with handling the rush a little bit, with turning to the run for by himself yep. if he needs to. I mean, he had four rushing touchdowns against Barrington, and being good at taking what's there. Marvin and Markeem are the two guys that stand out, and we mention them all the time, and they're going to get their looks and their targets and probably their catches, but sometimes you have to check down, you have to move out of that and see what is out there for the defense, and that's something that jumps out for East progression, mm-hmm. where they've come in these 2 years with the spread offense, with Corvacy at quarterback and all these weapons. They've come a long way, and it's not just I'm throwing to these two guys. Yes, it's that true. I can adjust to what is out there and move around. If you want us to run the ball, we will. I mean, mm-hmm. they did it a lot against Cranston West in that game yeah. because West tried to man up and do some different things against Marvin and Markeem, and they did it against Barrington. So the East offense is what it is, and everyone knows what it is, but it's a little bit more complicated than that in that there are other options, and it's more evolved, and it's smart. The players mm-hmm. are smart that are running it.
If East executes in this game better than it did in the regular season meeting, I think they'll score some points. The wild card in all of this is Hendrickson's amazing, uncanny ability to control games.
Mm-hmm.
They did it twice in Super Bowls on the same field against high-octane LaSalle offenses, where just all of a sudden you look up and there's 2 minutes left in the quarter and LaSalle hasn't touched the ball in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If Hendrickson can do that again, that's their blueprint, you know, to beat East, I think.
Yeah, LaSalle was the Cranston East yeah. of the last couple of years, right? Yeah. I mean, they did things a little differently, but they had Josh Morris, who was probably the best offensive player, Anthony Francis, a couple of good receivers. I mean, they were the highest scoring team in the state by a long shot. And they were putting up 40 points, you know, almost per game, it seemed like. And Hendrickson held them to 14 in one of the Super Bowls.
Yes.
You know, so this is not a strange environment to Hendrickson. This is where they thrive. They take teams out of their comfort zones like nobody else. And that's why they've won three in a row. And, you know, if they were setting lines, would be the favorite for yeah. a fourth here,
yep.
I think.
Yep. So as you can tell from everything we're saying, we think this is going to be a very good game. Exciting. Tough to predict. You'll want to get there early. I think East will have a huge crowd. We know Hendrickson will turn yeah, out.
Parking will be tough.
Yes, parking will be tough, as we have learned in past years.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a great one. Sunday at noon at Cranston Stadium. I guess it's time for us to make a prediction, which we have to do, and we've been avoiding all day.
Yeah, this is the fourth year in a row we've had to make a prediction, yeah, and yeah. we are 1-2 so far on
yeah,
our predictions.
Yeah, we picked Hendrickson over Portsmouth that first year, but then picked right. LaSalle the last 2 years.
So whoever we end up not picking here, take some solace in that. We're not always right. In fact, not even the majority of the time right. at this point. Yeah,
that's correct. We did get the semifinals. We got both teams.
Yeah, we predicted East over Barrington. Yeah, just seemed like a good matchup. And but all right, moment of truth.
Moment
here.
Of truth.
We got drum roll.
Yep. We are taking the Hawk 26-20.
Oof.
That's it. All right. That's going to do it for us on the podcast and probably for the year, I guess.
Yeah.
We won't do a post-Super Bowl podcast.
Maybe we should.
Maybe we should. Well, either way, thank you for joining us, for listening all season. We hope you enjoyed this Super Bowl edition of the Football Focus podcast brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2. And we hope you enjoy the Super Bowl.
See you out there on Sunday.